July 13, 1977, in Levittown, Pennsylvania. Selma, what first brought you to Bucks County?
Economic necessity. We were about to have our first child, and we needed a cheap, comfortable, clean place to live. And I was teaching school at that point, and in those days, you couldn't continue to teach and be pregnant at the same time. And even though I taught in a very wonderful private school, it was decided that I would not continue. My husband and I didn't even think of my continuing to work after we had the child, which was our first mistake. So we moved to Levittown. The advent of Levittown and Amy, our first child, came at the same time. We were one of the first people to move here.
Were you a working artist along with working in a school at that time?
Yes, I had, at that point, I was in charge of teaching art to grades 6 through 12 in a private school for very bright children, which took an awful lot of my time because it was an experimental school. We tried all sorts of innovative programs. And at the same time, I got jobs illustrating children's books and textbooks for the children at school, which was kind of nice. So I was working and painting also at the same time, and exhibiting in small galleries in Philadelphia. I had just graduated from college, so this was all within the first 5 years of my marriage, and that was the base in which I was working, teaching school, doing commercial work on the side, and painting.
Were you aware of any attitude towards Bucks County at that time, of it being any type of an artistic community at all?
Not really. I was more oriented toward the city. Bucks County seemed like 500 miles away, a wilderness. And when we came here, it was as if we were pioneers. There were very few things established. There wasn't even a grocery store that we could go buy food. We had to go to Trenton, which was very depressing. And the only thing I knew about Bucks County was New Hope, which we visited or went to plays and theater there occasionally when we lived in Philadelphia. But that's about it. I was quite unaware. When I first became aware of the artistic climate of Bucks County, it was really of the traditional painters who had lived here for years and years. Redfield, people like that, who were naturalists, who were genre painters, who lived in this area and who were supported and known by the area. But there wasn't anything of contemporary interest to me here that I could find.
So you consider yourself a contemporary artist. How would you describe your own work?
I shot her a dirty look. It's very difficult for me to describe my work because I keep changing and I feel growing, I hope, at this point in my life. You have to understand that a female artist has to take, of my age, has had to take at least 25 years out of her life and out of her personal growth and just put it aside. I feel as if I am starting from the age of 25, although I'm much older than that, simply because I had to raise a family. And I was not liberated. There was no support system, which is a nice term, for female artists. I found that I could not function as an artist, and there was not the economic support at the beginning of our marriage for me to do so. And so I simply had to do smaller things, and often this sounds like an excuse, but when you think back over the struggle to remain, even to remain an artist and a mother and a homemaker, it's a very profound struggle. Just to keep your identity, which I felt was about all I could do during those years. And it's only recently, since the children have gotten to some manageable age, and also through the women's movement, I think, that I have found and decided, as of, say, about 10 or 12 years ago, that I was an artist in my own right and that I better do something about it. I fought so hard to get through art school that it was stupid of me to even consider dropping that area of my life. I never did drop it entirely, but at, say, 12 years ago, I decided to put more emphasis on it, and the family would have to sink or swim. And they didn't sink, they swam. And if I had known that, I would have started earlier.
Were there other women in Levittown who were also artists by either schooling or desire, who were in the same circumstance that you were?
Oh yeah. I found a few of them around, and they had the same kind of struggle. One very interesting friend of mine had been a concert pianist and had suffered a terrible traumatic accident. She lost both her legs, and through her therapy became fascinated with clay and sculpture. And though she's moved a long time ago, about 17 years ago, I still think of her very often as being one of the pivotal people in my later years to pull me out of the doldrums and say, I saved myself from my sanity by art. You have, you know, to do something too. You have got to work too. And so she was very instrumental in getting me excited and working again. We were very good and close friends. And she was a real inspiration to me in terms of being an artist as well as being a human being.
Were there, when you started going back towards art again, what other systems helped support you in your effort at that time?
I really am not aware of any systems. There was support from my husband. When, I must say this to his credit, he was beset by all sorts of problems in terms of me because I demanded time and space for myself. And the guilt which I felt was enormous. But how I compensated for that was by earning money on the side with my artwork. I once more became involved in commercial work. That was the beginning. I did freelance work for display houses, and I did the sculptural reliefs. I did window design and so on. I was able to do this work at home and deliver it at its due date and get paid for it. And this was sort of my first tentative move toward realizing that I had a skill which could earn money besides teaching. And then the other thing that happened was that I was introduced to printmaking almost at the same time. And that really was a pivotal point too, learning to be a printmaker in the real sense of the word, because I'd had printmaking at Tyler when I was young, but it was not exciting, or the revolution in printmaking hadn't occurred yet. But meanwhile it had, and there were all sorts of new methods and wonderful, exciting things happening. And to me, printmaking began to assume and pull together for me a lot of different interests that I had, sculpture and painting, working with textures and color. And here I found finally the medium which for me revealed all those different disciplines, brought them together. So I concentrated for the first time in my life on one discipline, whereas before I had been into everything. Pottery, painting, commercial art, illustration, and so on. But at this point, I brought it all together.
Was it a Buckskinian who introduced you to printmaking?
Yeah, it was a friend of mine who had been taking a course at the museum and kept telling me to, you know, come on down, you'll love it. And finally, one day, I did go down and sat in on the course and was absolutely hooked. I signed up for 6 weeks and went for 3 years, summer and winter. And then every course that was given in Philadelphia at that time, I went to. There wasn't a place that was having a class that I wasn't a student. And I was self-taught. I really just became so fascinated with it that I kept going. It was a passion with me. It was an absolute passion.
But once again, Philadelphia was where you went for lessons, where you went for all your seminars,
right,
where most of the people that were involved in printmaking at that time based in this area, say, in Philadelphia, rather than having anything here in Bucks County for you.
There was nothing here in Bucks County.
It was still painting and neorealist.
Yeah. All the exciting printmaking things were going on in Philadelphia because I think primarily the printmaking print club,
mm-hmm,
which had always been a basic and wonderful institution for printmakers. My life has been intertwined with the print club for years and years. Even before I actually became a printmaker exhibiting there, I had very many happy experiences. I got my first job teaching by going to a print club reception and meeting a person who told me about the job at one of their receptions. I met some very lovely and important friends at the print club. I took master classes at the print club. My first acceptance as an artist who could sell was by Bertha von Moschuster, who said, I like your work and I want you to exhibit here, which, you know, flabbergasted me. But all these great, supportive, wonderful things happened at the print club.
Did you try to find any place that would sell or exhibit your work at that time in Bucks County?
Yeah, I did take some of my work to New Hope. And it was the Golden Door Gallery when Nancy Shaw ran the gallery for a number of years. Then when she gave the gallery up, I gave up New Hope because it had at that point turned into a very touristy and commercial kind of town. And I didn't particularly think my work would fit in.
What year was that?
Well, if this is 78, I would say in 70, 71, something like that. I haven't shown it for a long time.
So once you left New Hope, you basically left Bucks County again.
Yeah, there wasn't any other place around that was showing graphics, prints, just prints.
Is there any place now?
In Bucks County?
Mm-hmm.
Not that I know of. That's established that I don't know of.
Is there any exhibition space for you to actually work, show your work within the county?
Oh, I'm sure there is. But you have to understand that being a teacher and a printmaker is a very ambitious undertaking. You're married to two very demanding husbands. Or people. You can either devote yourself entirely to one or the other. It's very difficult to juggle both of these things. And so, since I've begun to teach printmaking, I sort of decided that I would rather concentrate on improving my own craft and selling when I could, but not actually going out and seeking outlets. So at this point, it's my problem, not theirs. I'm sure there are a lot of places around that I could show at, but I just don't have the time to take my work and show it to them.
Hmm.
And this is how you get to be known in printmaking. And also exhibiting in competitions and so on and so forth, and getting a name that way. You can do it. And I had done it. I did it for about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I established a name, and then I stopped. I was tired. I had other things to do. And I wanted to change my point of view and experiment and sort of recharge my own batteries. And teaching helps me to do that a lot, too.
That's why you continue to teach.
I love it. I love it. I love the kids. I love the relationship. I love the revelation of the process. I love talking to them. I like everything about it, really. I never thought that I would, but I do.
How is Bucks County for the students that you're teaching?
In what way?
Is this a cultural center that they can draw resources from? Do you find that your students are involved with the county arts at all? Is there any emphasis at the school towards this?
I don't find them too involved, frankly. I find that they are really very provincial, many of them. They come from suburban homes. They were born in Bucks County. They have no real touch with the centers of culture, so to speak, and so that their influences are a lot different. They are not as sophisticated as other students might be, and there's an entirely different emphasis. As a teacher, one has to constantly prod them and reveal to them things that are going on in the world. Taking them to Philadelphia is a great big threat. Half of them don't even know how to get to Philadelphia. And I always say that you cannot get the materials you need for this course locally. You must go to Philadelphia just so that they will go to Philadelphia and see what the city's about and feel the city, be influenced by the city. And that's why we take kids to New York and to Washington and so on. We try very hard to get them out of this milieu, although the milieu is wonderful, but it is very isolated, I think.
Mm-hmm. What makes this area, you just said, wonderful? Why do you think it's wonderful?
Well, I think that the natural beauty of this county is absolutely fantastic. It's a gorgeous place. I've traveled in Europe and seen lovely things in other parts of the world, but Bucks County is, comparable. The natural aspects of the land are absolutely gorgeous. And of course the school is in a beautiful setting. An ideal setting. There is a tendency, I think, to be very isolated there. It is not like going to school in the city. I see from Heidi, my daughter's education in a city art school, the emphasis is entirely different. But I think personal growth occurs very rapidly at this school. I think the students grow very quickly.
Hmm.
Even though it's just a two-year school, I'm amazed at how they do grow.
Is it because, would you, just off the top of your head, would you think it's because of the age that they're at, that it's a growth period, or is it the teachers that are actually brought into the school? Is it the combination?
I think it's a combination, really. I think it's because they're receptive, they want to be in school, and they're at an age where they learn rapidly. And also, I think you have a bunch of really excellent teachers who inspire, push, prod, etc.
Are most
demand.
Are most of these teachers working artists themselves?
Yeah.
Is this where you get a lot of your contacts with other artists in Bucks County?
No. These teachers, I find, primarily do not exhibit in Bucks County or are not involved in any way, really. My contacts are through, you know, organizations and through other printmakers. Printmakers are very, very supportive people. And that was another thing that intrigued me about the printmakers. They will help you. They will tell you where to go to exhibit. They will refer you to gallery people. They will reveal their secrets. They will tell you how they made a certain process. They don't hide things. And again, the printmakers that I've been involved with, who are really fine and known printmakers in Philadelphia, are women. Just a few men, but some of the best ones are women, and they're very, very supportive.
Do you think that these the amount of women that are in it is probably proportionate to other places in the country?
I would think so. I would think so.
Is it the materials that are available? Is it because you can work on in different size space needs?
I don't know, Ivy. I really don't know why it is. I think maybe one of the reasons is that the men who are printmakers are also sculptors or painters who've come to printmaking later on and who still continue in their other disciplines. But the people who are printmakers and only printmakers who don't do, who are not involved in any other discipline, primarily are women. And I don't know why that is a phenomenon, but it is. They may have been painters or sculptors at one point, just as I have been, but they dropped it and just concentrated in this area. I think one of the reasons may be because there is a saleable item for change. And I think, again, this has a lot to do with women pulling their own weight and trying to be professional in their attitude. The fact that they can sell their work easily, mm-hmm. more readily.
So there's a lot of outlets then also for your work to be sold.
Yeah, I think most galleries are carrying prints now and selling them. They're the bread and butter, really, of a lot of galleries. You don't sell paintings as quickly or hardly sculpture either.
Mm-hmm. I know you had been involved with the Council on the Arts of Bucks County. I know that you're on the Arts Alliance of Bucks County's Board of Trustees. Why did you ever involve yourself with organizations?
Frankly, because I was asked to. In the beginning, with the Council on the Arts, I was asked to be on the organizing body of it by Denver Lindley. He got my name somewhere. And Kay Renninger and I, Kay's a very fine painter, who will probably give you an entirely different story about Bucks County. And I went up to that first organizational meeting and became enthusiastic about the whole idea of establishing a Council on the Arts because we felt that Bucks County really needed that kind of an organization which would, through governmental process, begin to give the artists who reside in Bucks County, and there are lots and lots of them. We counted at one point 7,000 under rocks, trees, etc. Give them an opportunity somehow to express themselves or make their presence known in Bucks County. Very slowly it is becoming true. It's taken an awful long time, but it has become a reality, and that's a very wonderful thing to see happening. It didn't happen overnight, and it's still, you know, at this point at least it is part of the governmental structuring, and even that is a victory. We are considered by the commissioners as part of the government. Hmm. They can't dissolve us at this point.
How do you think that's going to affect artists of Bucks County, though?
Eventually, I think it will give them work, which is the one of the basic ideas.
Integrating the state and the arts itself by
the 1% clause is very important for any new buildings going up. This is in effect now and has given a few artists some work. We hope someday. The last time I was at a council meeting, of course, was a year and a half ago almost. So, but at that point, one of the things that I was very interested in was establishing a museum in Bucks County, similar to the one that's is it Chester? The one that Wyeth is interested in and involved in.
Brandywine?
Brandywine. A museum for Bucks County artists. It's an absolute, logical step for us. We do have so many artists living in this beautiful county. There should be a museum. Most of the artists who live here show either in New York or in Philadelphia or around the world,
Mm-hmm.
But they do not show or have no place here in the county. That is a, strictly non-commercial, garish kind of hoity-toity place.
Wonder why. If you have 7,000 artists, you would think that they would demand almost that there be something of this
nature.
You're
dealing with a different kind of a character altogether. Artists have this terrible pull and tug. They're pulled by their work, they're tugged by the world. And most of the time, they are seeking a place where they can be alone so they can create. They are very notoriously poor in organizing amongst themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They simply do not have the time to do such a thing.
You said the artists want to be alone. Do you want to be alone in your endeavors also?
Yes, at times I do, sure. I would like to... You see, I would like, the ideal thing for me would be to be able to work during the day and then meet with other artists in the evening and discuss what I've done.
Mm.
And I think that's what most artists would like to do. Occasionally meet with their colleagues and discuss their problems, their artistic problems, and exchange views and information. This is easily done in Paris and is still being done there and in New York and all the other great cities where artists live, but in an agrarian and rural place such as Bucks County, it's very difficult to do. There is not one place that I know of where artists get together to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you organize one, it's not going to do either. They have to sort of find one naturally themselves.
Someplace social where you can sit down and have a cup of tea.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A cup of tea.
That is a problem, is the distance also that Bucks County actually covers, as you have so many social and economic groups in the county that it doesn't seem that there's really a homogenous group of people here at all. But you yourself are still continuing with these organizations, the Art Alliance. Do you see a need for even more organizations in Bucks County of this nature, or do you think that Bucks County has its fill now of support systems?
You mean, are you talking about all the small art groups that have organized, Doylestown Art League?
Right, Levittown Art League.
Yeah. I think that... I think that those will naturally occur wherever there are people who are interested in making art, and that the Alliance is a logical clearinghouse and main factor where they could get together, exchange information, and exhibit together, etc. I think that it's going to take a long time to get them to realize that this is what the purpose of the Alliance is, but I do see from just the newsletters that are coming out that it is beginning to take hold. And again, you have people with various backgrounds in art, different points of view, and it is very difficult to get them to agree on certain basic issues. You have people who paint china, you have people who paint pictures, you have people who decorate ceramics, you have people who make sculpture. And the emphases are many times are not similar, you know. There must be common ground for all these people to meet if indeed that's what they want to do.
How would you like to see Bucks County be improved for an artist?
Well, the first thing I would really like to see is a museum. I would like to see a Bucks County Museum with all the systems that a museum can offer to people. Children, major exhibitions, traveling shows, a center of cultural explosion, so to speak. A active, exciting place which would function really as the thing that I mentioned before, where artists could get together, meet, exchange views. I think a museum is very, very important. A museum that's sponsored by, you know, the Bucks County and perhaps funded by the government locally, statewide, and nationwide. And a museum that would have ties with all the other museums in the United States. I think that's really a number one priority on my list.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that others are agreeing with you on that situation? That there is some type of a drive towards that?
Well, there has been some interest and talk about it in the council, but there have been insurmountable problems. Or not insurmountable, but great problems. And so far, I don't know what the state of affairs is on that score. I haven't talked to any of the council members for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But when I left the council, that was the most important issue that I could think of at that time. I still feel it's a very, very number one priority.
You just even mentioned talking. I was thinking, do you think that there's good communication systems, even though there isn't a center available for the artists to meet and congregate? Do you think that our radios and our newspapers and the college itself and maybe some of the organizations, through all of these, do artists receive information about what artists are doing, or is there a need to improve upon this that situation?
I think there is a need to improve upon that, if that's what artists want to have, the written word. I think I myself, and this is my own personal view, would much prefer series of face-to-face confrontations, meetings, symposiums, seminars, where one could get together and talk. One tends to get these art news type letters in the mail from Philadelphia, Art in Focus, and the Alliance publication. Read them, be excited momentarily by them, and put them aside. But I think that energy begets energy, and I think that if you meet people and are exposed to different points of view, then you yourself have to make a response, and from that, other things grow. And I much prefer seeing people and talking to them and seeing their work than reading about it.
Do you seek out people now?
I haven't really had time. You are interviewing me now between a school break, summertime. And this is a time when I'm preparing for a show of my own. And I really haven't taken time out to meet or seek any other artists. I'm really trying to
get my own head together and get some ideas and some work done. I am seeing someone this weekend, an old friend of mine from Paris who is a sculptor, sculptress. I meet her once a year for a weekend, and we talk. Our families come together and share friendship and love. And we look at each other's work. I bring some things to show her. She brings photographs of her work to show me, and we find that very stimulating. And during the year, we write to each other. She is a similar counterpart of my life, only hers is in Paris. And it is a little different in the sense that her economic level is different from mine. She has more help. She doesn't work. She doesn't teach. She does work. She works every day in her studio. But again, I feel that here's a female sculptor who has fallen victim, in a sense, to great pressures from the world, in quotes, and feels that her job is with her children and with her husband, and feels great guilt, I think, basically, although she would deny it, about taking time off to hone her very fine talent. She doesn't really show her work very much anyplace, and I yell at her a lot about that, but it's falls on deaf ears. Go ahead.
Do you find a lot of other women don't want to exhibit their work, that they're protective of what they're doing?
Women who are financially dependent on their husbands and who are comfortable economically, I feel, do not push their work a great deal because of inertia, or maybe because basically they feel incompetent or not good enough. I had an interesting thing happen to me along that vein when I was showing a piece in the Artist Equity show, and I bumped into an old friend, Sam Maton, whom I went to high school with, who's a very fine artist and printmaker, and I've known for years. In fact, his printmaking class at the museum was the first class that I attended when I got this whole sickness of being a printmaker. And he talked to me about my work and said it was fine and it was lovely. And he said, I wish you would talk to my wife, Lillian. She really should go back to college, but she's afraid to leave the children. And that was all I had to hear. You know, I started to talk with Lillian, and I said, "What? You know, you're a person. Go back to school. You're young enough, et cetera, et cetera." And Sam was saying, "Yeah, yeah." You know, he was encouraging me to let her have it. And she was really very upset about the whole issue, and the tears were in her eyes. And I felt that I was hitting a raw nerve. He was pushing her, and I was pushing her, and she wasn't quite ready. And then finally I said, well, I know how you feel, Lillian. I've had a tough struggle myself. She mentioned something about she really never felt that she was competent or good enough. And I said, I have felt that way too. I think that's one of the sicknesses that women inherit, you know, in our age group. No matter what you do, you feel that you're not competent. At which point, Sam turned around to me and said, you're crazy. I always thought you were so much better than me. In high school, you were my inspiration. You were the one who taught me things. You mean to tell me you feel that way today? And I said, sure, Sam, look at the difference. What has happened to us? You see. He said, I don't want you to feel this way anymore. I think your work is marvelous. And I kissed him and hugged him and felt really on top of the world, and came home and told my husband, Sam Maton told me, you know, blah, 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 blah. But it was a wonderful thing for him to do. But still, it revealed a point of view where women do a number on themselves,
mm-hmm.
you see. And that was what his wife was doing to herself at that time. And I sort of intuitively recognized that this was happening to her and was trying to ward her off and tell her that she was competent and that whatever she wanted to do, she could, and that her children would survive and that her husband was supportive.
Are a lot of your friends in the area around here now supporting each other in your endeavors this way, or is it similar to like a pendulum, as one starts to swing over to a side, others seem to follow suit?
You mean in terms of giving each other
moral support
and help?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's an ongoing thing. I haven't been in contact really with many of my women printmaker friends or my men printmaker friends for a while, because of circumstances. My life has been very involved and busy at school. But when we do see each other or work together or take classes, one of the things that being a printmaker involves, I think, is taking classes a lot. Just like in ballet, I feel that you have to keep yourself flexible, or anyways, it works for me that way. And I like the interaction of talking with other artists and seeing what they're doing, and they influence me and I influence them. During those times, we are supportive, very supportive, and everyone grows a great deal. But they are sort of in a formal class, you know, you have to go to a class to see them. Then every one of us gets busy. We all lead double lives, you see. It's not as if we have the time to drop everything and go over and see each other.
Mm-hmm.
We have to drop everything and go stir the soup or fold the laundry, which is a different kind of situation.
Are you finding more support from your husband now? Is he becoming more involved with what you would term traditional type work for a woman, such as doing some of the laundry and cooking? Or is that for yourself something that's still remaining the same and you're having to do all of those things too?
Oh, I think he's become a lot more flexible, certainly in his attitudes. His time, unfortunately, is very taken up too at this point. And so he can't give me as much support as I think he would like to. But he does really help as much as he can. And out of sheer habit, I continue to do many things that I shouldn't do. It's a habit ingrained in me. And the struggle of a woman my age is to substitute one habit in the house for another one in the studio. And that's always a big struggle. I find it easier to do in the winter. Summer is very distracting. It's too beautiful outside. I find myself gardening more than I should.
What do you have kids for? They could be your slaves.
Yeah. My kids are all liberal. What do you call them? Liberated women. They don't do that kind of stuff.
Okay. Thank you very much, Selma.
You're welcome.